The highlights of that were that Vaughan, Janine and Carol actually swam in the ocean and survived. And others who took a less demanding route competed fairly aggressively, I understand, under mini golf competition. Today, I'd like to welcome in particular Fran and Phil Bevan. Not here? Right. Still awaiting a visa from France, I understand. Yeah. Anyway, it'll be very good to see them when they arrive. Thanks. That's it, I think.
Let us join to worship God. Come, bow before the one who is just, and may the Lord lead us to exercise justice. Come, let us worship the one who gave his life for others, that God may inspire us to take a stand for those who are oppressed. We join to sing, You Are the Vine.
Oh,
Remaining as we are, we say the psalm. Happy are those who reject the advice of evil people, who do not follow the example of sinners or those who have no use of God. Instead, they find joy in obeying the law of the Lord, and they study it day and night. They are like trees that grow beside a stream, that bear fruit at the right time, and whose leaves do not dry up. They succeed in everything they do. But evil people are not like this at all. They are like straw that the wind blows away. Sinners will be condemned by God and kept apart from God's people. The righteous are guided and protected by the Lord, but the evil are on their way to their doom. So let me tell you what the plan is for today. The first thing is to say we are very grateful. Barry and Christine are here from the Samaritans. In the front there. That's there. That's them. They're going to talk to us about the Samaritans later on in the service. This is the church's annual general meeting. Weaved through the whole of the service. You can't get out of it. You're here now. And the other thing to say is that we have a service today at 6:30, but we also have a service today at 3:30, which is Messy Church. For those of you who are maximally into Harry Potter, this is your day. You have arrived. Because it's Messy Church does Harry Potter this afternoon. So what have we been doing over the last year? Well, let's have a look. Thank you. Currently, we're in a church secretary interregnum situation. There's a number of people thinking about it, and we're wondering how to carve it up in a different way. The prayer we are about to be led in has been written by the last ex-church secretary, that would be Kathy, and will be presented by two of the elders. They will lead us in prayer. So let us pray.
Loving God of heaven and earth, you alone know what it is to be truly good. Here, the people of this church seek to be good and to reflect your glorious and everlasting goodness.
We give thanks to all who have chosen to come to worship here, those for whom this is just a beginning, and those who have stayed here as they try to know more about you. May this place be a place where people enjoy diversity of expressions of your love and have the courage to try to see you in the stranger and the strange.
We give thanks for the practical people who use their energies to keep this place as clean and safe as it can be, and for those who take care of paperwork and numbers.
We give thanks for the creative people who fill this church with songs, pictures, poems, stories, jams, and cakes.
We give thanks for our youth worker and the team around her. We delight in the knowledge that your love is shared with the children in a variety of creative, caring ways.
We give thanks for the people that choose to offer their time and service regularly, those who serve refreshments, those who make time to listen, those who visit, those who knock on doors for Christian aid, and those who organise social times.
We give thanks for the studious, those who meet to share and question their understanding of your kingdom through the Bible study groups and book club.
We give thanks for the constancy of our ministers, our elders, and our worship leaders, and appreciate their willingness to serve and offer leadership.
We confess that we let ourselves get in the way and seek your forgiveness. We can become overwhelmed by events within us and around us and seek to control them, whilst forgetting that you are with us and that we would do well to pause and listen to your sometimes quiet voice. Sometimes we cannot find the words to say. We are sorry and mask our reluctance with accusations that others have not stepped up to the mark, distancing ourselves from the body of Christ, where everybody plays a part and forgiveness is a real possibility.
We know that we are here to continue the story of your love that has been happening here in this church for over 350 years. We promise to cherish the gift of this church, to be open to new ways, and to respect the old as we work together to show your endless power and glory to all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, and I want to say to you, the next time you're feeling a wee bit down and a wee bit cheesed off, I want you to remember that PowerPoint that we've just been through and go through it. We give thanks to God for the musicians. We give thanks for those that fill the place with poems. We give thanks for those that clean. We give thanks for we are blessed, are we not? We join to sing, Father, I place into your hands. So there are specific bits of work that maybe we need to hear about. Let's hear about the youth work, Glyn.
Good morning. I'll start on a positive note, the pop-up nativity, which was enjoyed by everyone. Lots of children and adults in the congregation participated, dressing up as wise men, shepherds, angels, the Holy Family, and Bob the Builder. Sally did a good job of holding it together and making it an inclusive experience. Tots Praise has continued to be a big hit, with new people joining on a regular basis. It's a really friendly group, and we've had two parties recently. One to celebrate the forthcoming wedding of one of the grandmothers, and the other one was to say goodbye to the children who sadly wouldn't be attending anymore as they were moving to big school. Our next party will be on the 9th of October, when we celebrate our fourth birthday. We managed to carry on running Tots Praise during the period when Sally was undergoing treatment, with Leslie and Carol Clack taking turns to lead the praise sessions. Families are enjoying the new format Stay and Play on Saturday mornings, based on a storybook with crafts and activities reflecting the theme of the story. Messy Church is now based on a theme each month, which is more interesting for all involved. We've covered nature, magic, cooking, travel, and science, and probably some others that I've forgotten. Our next theme today, as Leslie mentioned, is at 3:30, will be Harry Potter, which will be great fun for all the Potter fans. Jolly Toddlers, previously Parents and Toddlers, is still going well. There were no sessions during the summer school holiday period, but we're back in business tomorrow. Sundays are going well, although we never are sure who's going to turn up. You may have noticed that different leaders are doing the introduction to the theme in church each week. Our young people are continuing to delight us with their music during the 11:30 service. And it was good to see Trudy and Isaac back with us during the summer. And I'll leave you on a high note. We eventually got the news that we have the full Turn the Tide funding from the Southern Synod. That's for children's work. Please keep the children and their leaders in your prayers. Thank you.
Thank you. Martin?
This is a report on the Pastoral Coordinators Group. Do we need such a group, you might ask? And if so, what should it do? We have asked ourselves that question this year. I think in a perfect church, the answer would, of course, be no, but we're not quite there yet. The Pastoral Coordinators Group tries to keep oversight of the pastoral care of the church. It's a small group comprising of Leslie and Sugin, graciously hosted by Anne McFarlane, with our faithful secretary Jenny Milner, Rose Omingbali, and myself as the elder responsible. But most of the work is actually done, we meet quarterly. Most of the work, though, is actually done week by week in unseen ways through the groups and the networks that exist and are constantly changing within the church. In fact, you are probably part of that work, though you may not realise it. As you go out together in small groups, as you visit and spend time with your church friends, as you ask someone about their family or hobby when you see them, or notice when someone's not been around for a week and give them a call. There are many informal ways in which pastoral support happens, which is really great. And in the pastoral coordinators, we just try to look at the overall picture to see where there are any gaps that might need filling or areas that are being neglected. Perhaps the main visible parts of the work that we do is the pastoral concerns that are shared each Sunday from the just part of the notices and the pastoral news that goes into the church magazine. And this has been made more difficult recently by the data protection regulations, as we need to be much more careful about who we mention without their permission. But we believe it's still an important thing that we can share each other's news and that we can pray for each other. So on that note, let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for all the pastoral work that goes on within this church, whether through the formal channels of the Pastoral Coordinators Group or through the individual actions of people here. Bless all that work and strengthen us all to continue it in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. We join to sing Beauty for Brokenness.
Oh,
Every week the sermon goes out to someone in Afghanistan, people in South Korea, of course, and USA and France. It's one of the features of the growth of the life of the church that increasingly we are an international community. And Fran and Phil Bevan are part of that community. This reading, which you are about to hear from Luke's Gospel, is a shocking one, and those who heard it would have been surprised about what discipleship will mean. This passage will be read to us by Fran and Phil Bevan.
Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 33. The cost of being a disciple. Once, when large crowds of people were going along with Jesus, he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me cannot be my disciple unless he loves me more than he loves his father and his mother, his wife and his children, his brothers and his sisters, and himself as well. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. If one of you is planning to build a tower, he sits down first and works out what it will cost to see if he has enough money to finish the job. If he doesn't, he will not be able to finish the tower after laying the foundation, and all who see what happened will laugh at him.
This man began to build but can't finish the job," they will say. "If a king goes out with 10,000 men to fight another king who comes against him with 20,000 men, he will sit down first and decide if he is strong enough to face that other king. If he isn't, he will send messengers to meet the other king to ask for terms of peace while he is still a long way off. In the same way," concluded Jesus, "none of you can be my disciple unless he gives up everything he has."
The teaching of Jesus is a reminder of the high cost of discipleship. It is everything. It is all that we have, It is all that we are. It is not a hobby. It is not an occasional activity. Nor is it confined to a Sunday morning. We know that, and we are in the process of developing our Monday to Saturday discipleship. Carol.
Whole life discipleship. In June 2019, Maddie Antelark attended, on behalf of the elders, a vision day for a course on whole life discipleship being offered by Southern Synod to churches. Maddie brought back information from this day to the elders' away day later in June, when it was agreed that KURC would benefit from being part of this course. The information was then presented at the July church meeting, where there was agreement that we attend this course and seek to integrate what we learn into the life of our church. As Christians, we are committed to whole life discipleship. That is, not just on Sundays, but every day. Whatever we do and wherever we find ourselves, we are Jesus' disciples, whether we are at church, with others, or individually going about our everyday lives. All the different places we go and all the different people we meet in our lives represent front lines for our discipleship, our mission fields. When we're gathered on Sundays and at other times, we are being equipped to go out into the world the rest of the time as Jesus' disciples to bring good news to those we encounter. The purpose of this course is to help us do it better. Since June, several people have expressed interest in being part of the process, and we have a group of 6 to 8 people who will take this forward. People expressing interest so far have been Maddie Anzalark, Sue Shaw, Ken Bartlett, Sharon Enrique Vernon, Carol Clack, Christine Thompson, Rhiannon Bone, and Rachel Mason. If you would like to be involved with us, please express this wish to myself, Carol, or to Maddie when she returns from holiday next week. We are excited that we will attend 4 mornings at Crawley United Reformed Church, where LICC, London Institute for Contemporary Christianity, will teach us and give us help to come back and integrate what we have learned into the life of KURC. As well as the formal material, we will be taught it has to be great to learn from people from 9 other URCs who will attend. All meetings are on Saturday mornings and take place on the 21st of September 2019, 2nd of November 2019, February the 22nd, 2020, and June the 6th, 2020. Please pray for the group taking this forward and the process of integrating our learning into our church life. Let's pray. May God be with us on this journey to help KURC equip its members and friends to be whole life disciples of Jesus. May each one of us be better equipped to go into our bit of God's world, confident that God can work through us, and that Jesus is good news for the people we meet, good news for the things we do, and good news for the organisations we engage with. Amen.
As is my usual way, I like to read and reflect on a whole range of leadership books. And that's led me recently to wonder about the why. The why. W-H-Y, not the letter. Why does Kingston United Reformed Church exist? And why does it do what it does? Not how does it do it, not what does it do, but why does it do it? I'll chuck it at you. I will be grateful for your conversation, your reflection. Take it back. My conclusion is, that it's about connection. The why of Kingston United Reformed Church is we are about connection. We are about connecting in ways that do not always happen. Connecting unusual groups of people, connecting individuals, and connecting people with God. Or at the very least, we are about allowing the opportunity for this to happen. Giving people opportunities. Connecting every day and not just on Sundays. And connecting with God every day. If you want to live a long and a good and a full life, we all know that there's a range of things you've got to do. Get your weight down, give up the booze, exercise, stop smoking, have a close partner, that works. But in the place in the world where they live the longest and the men live as long as the women, woohoo, give me the ticket, I'm on my way. The men live as long as the women, Sardinia, the research shows that although they go through all these matrices about, you know, shed some beef, give up the drink, you know, blah, 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 the top two are interesting. One, of course, is close partner, but the other one is a sea of connectedness. It's about having relationship with your neighbours, taking time with the person in the shop, somebody who serves you coffee, knowing about family and just living with relationships, that those wee small relationships are really important for a life lived well. Who knew? I'll tell you who knew. We knew. All of this small stuff is literally life-saving. We provide a network of opportunities. Of course, not everyone is equipped to accept these gifts. And even worse, there are some people among us who don't understand the importance of them. They're not neat. People misunderstand. People abuse us. People take advantage. And others within the church look for something that's more orderly, more prescribed. People love a program. But the teaching of Jesus should be loud in our ears that we, as God's people, as followers of Jesus, we are not called to ease. We are called to service. One of the ways that we offer connection is through the range of worship that we offer. Sundays, it's our normal pattern to have three acts of worship. Tots praise, Friday prayers, messy church. One of the things that we've been doing just this past year is that six members and friends of the church have done a lay preaching course and have completed it. And we're grateful to them. And we look forward to what they bring into the life of the church. So congratulations are due to Anne McFarlane, Teresa James, Jane Townsend, Martin Verge, Carol Clack, and Maddie Annelzark. Woohoo! Another place where we offer connection is through the foyer. We are grateful to Liz Cook and her team for organising the coffee. But the foyer has been under pressure this year, and sadly, we have had to stop offering a shower to street homeless people because of the abuse of our staff, and also because when we needed the police, they did not come. Have you ever hugged somebody who was smelly? The answer to the question, why does Kingston United Reformed Church offer a shower, or aim to, or used to, is because if we want people to be able to build relationships in the mainstream of society, then they need to be at some level, at the very least, physically clean. Why do we offer two services on a Sunday morning? Because people are different and they see God differently. Their brain works differently. People have different needs, and we want people to connect with God. Why do we do what we do through the foyer? Because loneliness is as dangerous in terms of life expectancy as smoking is. Or put it theologically, because everyone is a loved child of God and needs to know that truth. Why do we offer things like the contact centre? Let me read you the report. The contact centre continues to go from strength to strength. We have 8 families who are using the centre every session and are interviewing new families at almost every session. This shows us the need for a neutral space where non-resident family members can see children is greater than ever. We have recruited new volunteers throughout the year and have developed online training for those wishing to explore volunteering in the centre. We are also developing volunteer feedback forms and sessions to ensure we are supporting our volunteers' needs. We periodically replenish the resources so the children have as many activities to enjoy as possible and are hoping to develop a book corner to suit all ages of our children. If anyone has any books, we'd be grateful to hear from you. We are incredibly grateful for the support offered by the church and church members. Contact Centre makes a huge difference to the lives of our families using it, and by the generous use of our building every other week, as well as church members volunteering their time for training, makes it all possible. It is a small thing for us. We give up the right to use our building every other week, but can you imagine being the non-resident parent and how important that Sunday afternoon is? It could well be literally life-saving. What we do is lots and lots of small stuff. Together, these are transformational. But they are also easily dismissed. It is our contribution to Kingston, and it is our contribution to the life of the kingdom, lived through the building and in our everyday, wherever that is. Most of the time, in small contacts, significant relationships, for most of the time, small contacts, significant relationships and friendships are enough. But every now and then, people, including Christian people, need more. And for that reason, we're going to hear about the Samaritans. Nobody can say, Barry and Christine, you haven't had a big build-up. That you just sneaked in and they didn't even notice we were coming. We are grateful to you coming to speak to us. Thank you.
Well, I'm very glad we've had an opportunity to come and speak to you. I should say that it's not that either of us feels we couldn't have done this on our own, but Samaritans has quite strict policies, and one of them is that if Samaritans are giving a talk, there must be two of them. So we simply split the slides. I will do the first half, Barry will do the second half, and then we do hope you'll ask questions. There'll be time for questions. I thought it might help if you could look at things on the screen as well as hearing me talk. And I hope the font is the right size. I can feel Phil whispering in my ear, you should always check the font size. But it looked okay on the computer, so I hope it's okay here. So one or two of the things I'll go through quickly, but there are other things that I will talk about in more detail. So if we could go through to the third slide, please, Bron. The first thing I'd like to say is that we are all volunteers. We have a cleaner for a few hours a week, and we have a brilliant administrator, and we have 4 to 6 hours a week of her time, and everything else is done by volunteers. And we also do a lot of training. We're constantly training new Samaritans. And again, it is strict Samaritan policy that people must do what we call ongoing training. So even when you've become what we call a numbered Sam, so we're all numbered, I'm Christine 1768, we don't use surnames, you still have regular training to keep you up to date. The vision of Samaritans is that fewer people die by suicide. But we do more than that. We will talk to people or listen to people talking about anything. And we have a saying, if it's important to you, it's important to us. And some of the saddest cases is when you're talking to somebody who has got to the point of being suicidal, and you think, if you'd only phoned us earlier, you might not have got to this state. And most of the conversations, we will inquire in a very subtle way whether somebody is feeling they've got to the point where they're thinking of committing suicide. But we don't make any attempt to talk people out of it. We listen to what they are saying and what their concerns are. If we can go to the one that's got a quote, please, Bron. I don't know if you can manage to read this okay, but there is a feeling people think that if you talk about suicide, you put the idea into people's heads. Well, all the research that's been done on this has shown that this is not the case, that people may be thinking of suicide, they may feel they can't talk to anybody about it, and actually having a safe space where they can talk about how they're feeling is very beneficial. The figures for suicides each year are 5,221 on the latest figures. And to make a comparison, the figure for road accidents, which we have been very concerned about in the past, are 1,793. So considerably more people die by suicide than die in road accidents. About three quarters of those are men, and about a quarter are women. One of the suggestions is the fact that something's a cliche doesn't mean it's not true. This question that women tend to have better networks, women are more inclined to talk, and so on. Men feel they've got to cope with it on their own and man up. There's also the point that the method of suicide which people choose can make a difference. If you choose a method that means you've got time to change your mind and seek help, then you're less likely to die than if you use a method that's very quick. We haven't got that much time, and I'm trying to make sure I tell you everything that's important. Without telling you too much that you can get elsewhere. I've put some leaflets at the front and the back, and there are normally cards with contact details on them in the foyer. I was surprised to discover that a few people don't seem to know where we are. If you just go down Brook Street, cross Wheatfield Way carefully, there is our nice new building with big green and white signs Saying Samaritans, and we're open from 7:30 to 9:30 in the evening. The foyer does a brilliant job with people who are lonely and want to chat, but there may be some situations where you feel somebody wants longer or more specialised attention. Normally people can walk straight in and have a face-to-face. If two people are busy on the phone, then they may have to sit in the foyer area for a bit. But we can normally see people quite promptly. Or you can suggest to people that they phone the free phone number. If people come in saying, I'd like you to pray with me, I'd like to light a candle, I'd like to have a discussion about why does God allow suffering, that is not something that Samaritans does. But if you feel they would benefit from having a long conversation and they're in a distressed state, then you could suggest that they contact Samaritans. And we'll just look briefly at some of the reasons why people contact us, which are just about anything that can go wrong in people's lives. Loneliness, exam pressure, mental health, work problems, various types of addiction, relationship problems, money worries, depression, bereavement. We now have quite an elaborate computer system where we record completely confidentially what people talk to us about. And the main causes, interestingly, are the main things people talk about are mental health, physical health, family problems, relationship problems. But there may be a whole range of things. Okay, so at that point, I will let Barry tell you some more.
Hello, thanks for inviting us. As a visitor to this place, I've always been impressed at how much goes on, and now this morning I know even more goes on. And thank you for the build-up. So, next slide, please. What do we do? What does it mean to contact Samaritans? Whether you're coming into the branch, or whether you're giving us a call, or whether you're writing us a text or an email, the kind of way that we try and help is the same. We try and give people some space. Often in today's world, I know there's some parallels here with what you do here in your pastoral work, but often in today's world outside of these places, people are pushed for time. There is a set limit on the amount of time you get with a doctor or a professional or someone else to help. We will spend a lot longer. We will spend time allowing that caller to talk about what is important to them. It's about the person who's contacting us. It's not about us. It's not about us being the expert who knows all the answers. It's about what is really getting to that person. So we spend a lot of time just making them realise that how they see things is important. What they think, how they feel about whatever issues are facing them, that's important. There's a huge power, as I'm sure many of you are aware, there's a huge power in knowing that you are listened to, knowing that your opinions, your thoughts, your feelings are valued. And that's what we try and do to help people through. We don't give people the answer, but often people will find their own answers. We will spend time walking through with people. Well, what do you think you might do? Or if there is no idea, how do you think you might find out? What do you feel about this option? What do you feel about that option? How might that work out? Should we have another talk in 3 days' time when you've had some more time to think about it, or maybe try one of these things? Really, how are you? That's what we do. And we can also signpost to other people if there's something very specific that they need. So we do a lot of stuff. We're Kingston branch is open most of the time, about 85% of the days and hours in the week. Other branches, we have a system whereby whatever time people are in distress, because distress doesn't stick to 9 to 5, whatever hours of the day, whatever days of the week, Christmas Day, 3 o'clock in the morning, you can call Samaritans and get an answer. You might have to wait a little bit longer at times, but we'll try and be there whatever time. And we do 30-odd thousand contacts at Kingston branch. We are busy. If we say we're available, we will get a call. It's that busy. We do a lot of work locally as well. There's a lot of outreach work. We'll do work with train stations in particular. If there's been an incident on the railway, as we often hear about, we'll try and be there within a couple of days so that if people saw it or it's spurred thoughts on people, there's an active presence and they can associate this help that Samaritans can bring with what they've witnessed or heard about. We also work with the council on various local initiatives. We also have a presence at Wandsworth Prison. We don't always get it right, but when we do, it's important and we get some really nice feedback. There's our contact details up there. We are just across the road. We have a free phone number. It looks as though it's wrong, but it's right. 116123, that is our number. It's free. It won't show up on any bills if you're worried about privacy. We hold confidentiality really important, along with non-judgmental, etc. We would welcome your help in your prayers, in your money, in your volunteering, in your signposting people to us if you want to become a volunteer, if you yourselves want to take use of our service. Whatever your engagement with us, we're there, we're happy to try and help, or we would willingly accept your help. Thank you very much. I don't know if you want to take questions now or afterwards. Fine, thank you.
You're not running off, are you? Cool. My sense is that if people have if people have got a question, then maybe afterwards, yeah. And it might be that this has kicked some stuff up for you, and if it has kicked some stuff up for you, then certainly I'm happy to pray with you at the end of the service, and we can have a conversation. Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's join together to pray. And the parents gasp, "It's a boy, it's a girl." And the excitement is in the room, and they weep, and love flows, and it is the best case, and the family is called, and delight is everywhere, and gifts are given, and love grows, and life breaks in, and things change. We pray for those whose lives have been a challenge from the beginning. For those whose experience of parenting was poor and they lived with neglect and abuse, and for those who have grown up in poverty and the job delights and it's interesting and there are challenges and the money flows and there's meaning and purpose and life. And we pray for those who have no work, for those who feel that their life has no meaning, because it used to be all about their work, and those who have no work and that has led to the fact they have no home. And for those who look like everything's going really well, but the pressure actually is just too much. And develops and the family expands and love abounds. And for those whose close relationships feel like they're coming to the end, For isolated people, however flourishing they may look, for those whose friendships are few and superficial. We pray for all those working to save lives, including the Samaritans, for those whose job in the world is to put food into people's stomachs, provide them with shelter, for those whose job it is to provide small times when people can be smiled at and regarded well. Lord, we ask that you would bless the work of the Samaritans, give them the resources that they need, the money, the volunteers, good trustees, keep them safe. And we ask that you would bless us when we are gathered. Ask that you would give safety to this building. We give you thanks and praise for those who manage the building. We thank you for George. We thank you for Catherine. We thank you for Jaffa, new among us. And we pray for what discipleship looks for us tomorrow morning. Bless us as we are gathered and as we are apart, that we would do the tough job of following you in all our frailty and foolishness. We would offer the best that we can. Lord, we pray. Amen. So let us continue our worship as we make our offering. So let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that we can always trust in you, that you are an abundant God, and out of your great mercy you've given us so much. We give you this offering today, and with it we worship you and give our whole lives to you. Please take it and use it for your kingdom and your glory. Extend and multiply its reach and influence, we pray. And may it be a great blessing to many. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. So what we're going to do now is we're going to sing our last hymn. Then we're going to say the grace, and then we're going to go into, there's some other reports and things that have to be done, so we'll look at them. So we sing together, All Creatures of Our God and King.
Thank you.
as we go from this place. In an unjust world, may we be just. May we speak for those who have no voice. May we act for those whose chains hold them back. May we consider strangers to be our siblings and free them as God has freed us. Thanks be to God. Amen.